Did you know that the things that your parents have gone through will shape you? Sure. If your father was a baseball player, you might be really good at playing baseball. If your mother drank when she was 6 years old and was an alcoholic, yes, you're going to be predisposed to things like that. But there's so much more that the patterns of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, our uncles and our aunts, our family tree gets passed down through our DNA. These things, we're set up to have these experiences. And today I've got a very special guest. Her name is Joanna Lynn, and she is the founder of the Family Imprint Institute. And she's going to teach us about these patterns and these things that happen that might not explain in any other way other than these are family patterns. They must be recognized and they must be healed. Otherwise, we are going to pass this on to our children and they're going to pass it on to their children. Let's welcome Joanna. Thank you so much for joining us.
So glad to be here, Tracy. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. I am so excited about what we're going to talk about today, which is inherited family trauma. And the work that you do is something that I've been fascinated with. And what I love about you and when we met and we talked is that people can do what you're talking about, and we'll tell us in a minute, from anywhere. And they don't have to be in a specific location. So, why don't you tell me what it is that you help people with?
Okay, that's a bit of a big question. You know, we all come from a family and we're influenced by that much more than we would ever imagine. Mm-hmm. So the things that happen to us are kind of our early life experience, as well as our what I call our family imprint. What happened to mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, literally is passed on in the very DNA. So we're born with those relational patterns. We're born ready to be available to respond to the traumas that they went through.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, my grandparents too. That's so much pressure. Yeah. So what is it exactly? So your business is a coaching program that helps people get in touch with that family trauma, that drama and the things that we inherited. How's that work?
So I share with people, I'm actually more like a detective than I am a therapist or even a coach, because a lot of it is putting together the family history. So how do we make sense of the patterns that show up in our lives? How do we make sense of the same issues we find ourselves in inside relationship? And all of the answers can be found within our family history. So I start with clients and I build a little map to their inner world, a genogram really that uncovers what happened? What are some of the family facts? And then I can kind of connect the dots. We put the grand puzzle piece of life together until we get to those resolution places and people get to live with more freedom. They kind of come back into their lives with more understanding and less of those often painful patterns.
Mm-hmm. So how does something that my grandfather did affect me?
Great question. So this work has been around almost 50 years, and yet traditional science is only now, I shouldn't say only, it's been about 10 or 12 years, really seeing, and it's a whole field called epigenetics, that what happened to our grandfather. So let's say, gosh, he was a prisoner of war. We'll use a big dramatic example. So of course he's highly traumatized. Likely he comes back home to the family, very, very different, maybe quick to anger, maybe emotionally closed. Now this changes him at the DNA level. And this is something that's then passed on to our parent, our mom or dad, and then also is shared with us. So we might live with more hypervigilance, sort of, you know, we hear a neighbor's car door close in the middle of the night and we wake up ready to, you know, where's the threat? Mm-hmm. We're really primed and ready to deal with the experiences that happened before we were even born.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's actually a little bit scary.
Well, I think it's, when we look at it from the evolution, it's kind of like the brilliance of our body saying, I don't want you to be caught off guard again. Here you go. Here's a whole library of what you could draw from. But where we get a little challenged is, you know, maybe we're living in, I don't know, upstate New York, and everything is safe and provided, and every grocery store we go to is completely prosperous. But we're living with the, what if the rug gets pulled out from under me? Mm-hmm. It's that hypervigilance in the body that might not serve us now, you know, a generation or two generations later.
Wow. I don't understand how you help people. So we decipher what our past was.
Yeah.
How do I know? Like, I don't know my father's parents. They were dead before I was born. So how does what they, I mean, obviously it went on to my father.
Yeah.
And even though he didn't say these things, it affected his behavior to us.
Of course.
How do we change that pattern?
That's a powerful question, because it's one thing to understand how we're influenced. And then the big question is, okay, now what? So a lot of it is, let's use a relationship example. So a client will come in to me and they're not going to say, gosh, let me tell you all my family history, because I know that's what's going on and with making my marriage be so painful.
Mm-hmm.
So people come in with, I'm concerned about my child, or my relationship seems to be going off the rails, or gosh, my partner, no matter who I'm in a partnership with, never seems to meet my needs. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the way my clients describe what's going on for them act as clues. And I track those language patterns. And then I begin to ask questions about family history. So things like, did mom and dad stay together or did they separate? And if they did separate, how old were you? So I begin to kind of get the imprint of that relational experience. Mm-hmm. So more often than not, if we've got that feeling like my partner doesn't meet my needs, where at the really is addressed to is my mom or my dad couldn't meet those emotional needs. And 80, if not much more, the more I work with couples and people with in relationship struggle, has to do with our family of origin. So we think it's about the relationship, but it's really about the pain that we're still carrying from how we were raised, where mom and dad couldn't give what we needed, and how that continues to be a reference point.
Right. I know that with a lot of victims of narcissistic abuse, it is a pattern that, you know, if they're in a relationship with one, they're going to get into another one, and they're going to get into another one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just learning about narcissists is certainly helpful, because mm-hmm. now your, you know, spidey radar is going to like, oh, that's a red flag. That's a red flag, where you didn't have that in your vocabulary before. But, there's a great percentage of people like myself that had trauma in their childhood. My mother was clearly a narcissist. She's gone now, but, and the behaviors that she brought into the family dynamic were from her own history. Mm-hmm. She watched her mother get shot when she was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And from that point, she was in foster care mm-hmm. for the rest of her life. And yet somehow in the middle, when we were kids, my grandfather was back. Mm. So she didn't know, like, every day if she was going back to that foster care. She lived in fear. She lived in a protective mode to make sure that she took care of her own needs, because mm-hmm. she knew nobody else was. That foster family is going to be gone tomorrow. And so she started this protective kind of thing, which, you know, for me, I'm concerned that I have made these mistakes and I have gotten into these relationships over and over. But I'm worried that I've passed it down to my son.
Mm, got it. So you said a lot in just that little bit of explanation.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when I think of your mom, it's this understanding of there was no other way that she could be. Mm-hmm. And essentially that is what a narcissist is. They don't have their mom or dad behind them mm-hmm. as that soft place to land when life does what it does, when the stress, you know, moves forward. And so narcissists become a little bit like hungry ghosts, whether it's to their own children, to that spouse, to their friends, you know, give me what I need, because mm-hmm. I couldn't get it back here. Mm-hmm. And now perhaps my parents are gone, or whatever the reason may be, or there's just a complete exclusion. There's really not a relationship that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a learned pattern of, if I can't get it back here, I'm going to lean into it out here.
Mm-hmm.
So that first awareness for us that might be children of a narcissist is mm-hmm. to begin to build the larger picture mm-hmm. so that we've got some compassion that can start, some understanding that's there.
Mm-hmm.
The other element too, Tracy, is look what this experience has offered for you. So really, being the child of a narcissist mom is like the seed of your expansion for all the lies you have touched with, you know, as you say, notice these red flags. Let's not get into another painful relationship that looks and feels so much like the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And would this be an area of your interest had that not been your life experience?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I think there's the, if we look at every experience and we look really honestly, which is something I'm learning to do, if we look back at those experiences, we can find a place to grow and to be different from the patterns that you've had before.
That's it.
Yeah.
And to answer the second part of your question, yes, as parents, what we don't resolve, we pass on.
Mm-hmm.
So if only we could pass on the thicker eyebrows or the funny laugh, all the cherry pick, the good stuff. And yet, and often that's really the motivational force behind the work that I do, is that none of us as parents want to pass down what feels painful or tangled up to our child. And the healing work that we do here and now frees them, whether mm-hmm. they're 12-year-old or 47 years old, you know, it's never too late to make that positive.
So is it something that, you know, if I went through your program and I came upon these patterns and relationship trauma, things that have happened in the past, and I work on those to resolve them, is it then where I would say, hey, take my son too, we need to fix him? Or is it something that I have the skills to change the way I've mothered?
Great question. So it varies a little bit depending on how old the child is. But the long and short of it is, as we come to completion with our sort of, let's call them life examples,
mm-hmm.
nothing has to be carried on. That domino effect, nothing is passed along.
Oh.
Yeah. And so many times I've worked only with the parents mm-hmm. and I've never worked with the child at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the child is a 30, 40-year-old man, that's different
mm-hmm.
because he has his own relational patterns that have, you know, started to bud and move into that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that might be something that he wants to explore for him, because he would have his own version of being your son. Then you would have the experience of being his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So how does it work?
Like, so if we were to work one-on-one, I would start by asking a series of questions, and it's called the core language approach. It's very methodical, actually, how I gather all of the information so that we don't leave anything out as I build your inner map of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because how we parent, of course, mm-hmm. comes from how we were parented.
Mm-hmm.
And so we begin to look at those key pieces for how we rebuild the connection with your son, if we use that example.
Mm-hmm.
How we transform who we get into a relationship next, if you're looking to start a fresh and new relationship. Or how to maybe clean up some of the baggage and pain that's in the relationship that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always guided by what the client wants to achieve. We gather the family history, we begin to put those puzzle pieces together, and then much of the work is very much experiential. So it's one thing to understand, okay, I get it, why I do this, but we've really got to bring it down, including the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my work is breath orientated, sensation orientated. Where does it live in the body? So mm-hmm. that you actually go back into your life and all of those important relationships differently.
Wow. That's so fascinating. I love this.
Mm.
I know that when we talked before that going through this process can really transform your life and make you release the trauma. Is that the right way to say it?
So I use the word integrate because the trauma is there. There's no way we can go back and erase it. But we can, yeah, unfortunately, but we can really come to recognize, you know, our part. Mm-hmm. So for example, if we continue to be in relationship with narcissists, how do we begin to look at, wow, you know, did I learn how to take care of a sad mom? Mm-hmm. Or was my dad, when he was a little boy, someone who didn't get enough time and attention from his mom and dad? And so I tried to, you know, be the clown or be the good girl or be the one that could make him smile, whatever it took. And now, gosh, it looks like I'm out there in all of my relationships and friendships trying to see who do I need to be to make sure you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go back to our own ownership of what parts of me need to have understanding and integration so that I show up as a different partner, so that these narcissist partnerships don't feel like such the right fit in the beginning.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's so important because, of course, when you're going into any relationship, it's always like so much fun and you've got all the giddiness inside and you can't wait to talk and they say like one nice thing and you're just like, whee! But that isn't necessarily with a narcissist. It is an act. And so we have to see that difference, that high of happiness is really just them love bombing us and pretending. And so when we go through something like this and we learn those patterns to really test them, I would think, to say, you know.
Well, from my perspective, Tracy, we can't know for sure that they're putting on an act.
Right.
We know that a narcissist has a high need to be taken care of and loved. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, you and I could go out to a fun event with 100 eligible bachelors. They're all equally handsome. They're all equally wealthy. It's not about that surface stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So why is there a click with one of them? You know, you'd have yours, I'd have mine. There'd be this, oh, wow, I want to get to know you more.
Mm-hmm.
My sense is at the deeper soul level, the two individuals go, oh, here's where I get to work out my family stuff. And so those people that we've got that wow factor, that major click, likely we're going to be going down a path of really working through family history.
Wow. And you have to work through it in order to heal it, right?
Well, unless you're okay with him showing up in the next one, and number three, and number four, and number five. It's kind of like the life's way of saying, how do you want to deal with it this time?
Mm-hmm.
Because our ways of loving, I call it the relationship blueprint, was really learned often before words even came online.
Really?
Oh, yeah. How we were connected with mom in the womb, if she had to go straight back to work, if we spent time in an incubator. These are all the kind of the wordless foundational pieces as to how we operate in relationship or even how we navigate separation.
You know, this is like, I don't think I've said this on videos before, but when my son was born, he was taken away from me. I had a C-section and he had started having seizures within about 4 hours, turned blue, stopped breathing, and they took him away. Yeah. And they put him in an incubator in another hospital, which had the neonatal unit.
Yeah.
I thought about it the other night. He was in there for about 2 weeks and I was like, My husband stayed by his side the whole time, but I wasn't there. There was no warm mommy chest. There was, you know, we had to hold his hand through a little window.
Yeah.
So I wonder how that affected him, like the abandonment. That's almost abandonment, right?
Well, and when you think about it from a little baby's perspective, right? What is he known for 9 months? Your voice, your smell, that close proximity to mom is that sense of safety in life, mm-hmm. that relational, she's got me, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know, I mean, my son was in a light box for the first couple of days too. There are medical reasons as to why these separations happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never too late to re-knit when we've been separated and how we get things back online together.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more for us to know, oh, maybe that's why he feels a little nervous or unsure about really getting close. Or maybe that's why he keeps me at an arm's length, because to a little baby's body, again, it's not words, it's not a thought, it's more of a feeling of, I'm not so sure I can trust this connection business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why hasn't she come to get me? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there's not the knowledge of doctor clearance and, you know, what's best for him medically.
Right.
It's just that emotional feeling.
Right. And you don't think about a baby at, you know, 3 hours old having an emotional experience. But
well, here's the truth of it. You know, was it as early as the 50s? I'm trying to think back to my research. They didn't think baby had feelings. So they didn't even anesthetize to feel pain. They didn't even anesthetize the child for surgery.
Really?
Yes. And so there's a huge understanding around what children pick up in utero.
Wow.
Their first relationship with the father is through how you feel about their father. Do you feel he's a good man? Do you feel loved? Do you feel safe with him? This begins their inner image of, you know, dad's a good guy, or there's no way I can count on him.
Wow.
And this begins to set up their relational pattern and what they will live out in their own relationships.
Wow. So this explains why my son isn't dating anyone.
Yes.
Oh my God, we have work to do.
That's okay. I know just what we need to do. So don't feel stressed.
Good, good. So tell me more about this. Do you have an example of a story that might help people? Like, you've given, you know, a lot of data back on my little stories, but what kind of, do you have a story of somebody that might help us understand it?
Absolutely. There's it's a case study I often come back to because it is so kind of unbelievable, in that there's a client named Jonathan. He just, you know, a couple weeks after turning 19, he was doing well, thriving in life, had earned a scholarship, was loving his sport, had lots of friends. On all accounts, life was going fantastically well.
Mm-hmm.
So one night, about 3 a.m., he woke up in a cold sweat and could not get back to sleep. He was just bone cold. And so, like any of us would do, you know, go to the hall closet, get a bunch of wool blankets, and try to settle back in. When he'd settle back and drift into sleep, his body would alert him that if I fall asleep, the feeling in his body was, I will die. I just cannot let myself fall asleep. So this young man, over 2 years, had been to every sleep clinic, every naturopath, natural doctor, including regular physicians, anything you could imagine he'd tried, from meds to supplements, and still nothing. He'd lost his scholarship. His friends had gone on to university. His life just kept getting smaller and smaller, until finally he found out about inherited family trauma and started to look at, what parts of my family history could be an influence to this? So the questions that were asked were around his experience with sleep. It was very unusual that he woke up in a cold sweat, mm-hmm. you know, bone cold, couldn't right. get warm, and that if he fell to sleep, it would feel like he would die. These aren't usual insomnia type, you know, mm-hmm. symptoms.
Yeah.
And so the family history showed that Jonathan had an uncle call in, who at 19 years of age was up in the Northwest Territories in Canada, changing the power lines in a snowstorm, and sadly was electrocuted and froze to death. So he was living life like his Uncle Colin. It was family history reliving. Mm. And so when he found out about this, he didn't even know he had an Uncle Colin.
Because he was dead.
That's it. And so in this work, we call it an ancestral alarm clock. You know, how else can we understand that everything was going along perfectly for Jonathan until 19? And then he has the same experiences that Uncle Colin felt. So what I've learned in this work, Tracy, is that the family soul has an organizing principle, and it doesn't really allow for anyone to be excluded. And so because Uncle Colin died so young, it was so sad that, you know, in the prime of his life, he just wasn't talked about anymore. And so the resolution was for Jonathan to have a, you know, in his mind, conversation with Uncle Colin to say, gosh, you know, look what happens to me when I carry your trauma. You know, please, I came much later than you. I'm going to bring you with me into life, Uncle Colin. You know, Dad's put a picture of you up on the wall with all our other loved ones. And I remember you. I bring you into life.
Wow.
So this is one session, and he's sleeping beautifully. He's got his life back. Wow. Sometimes it's just unearthing, you know, what is this symptom pointing to? Or what is this relationship pattern showing that's unresolved inside the family?
That's a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. Because you don't think about that stuff. And it makes me wonder, had my mother ever addressed the fact that she watched her mother get shot, how she might have been a different mother.
Well, I love that you say that, Tracy, because hurt people. When we don't, and let's give our parents a bit of a break. I mean, there wasn't psychology today on every doctor's, you know, waiting room table. There weren't the resources that are available to us today. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't really in their paradigm to go, this is a traumatic experience, or I'm not okay with this. Who can I reach out to? Mm-hmm. It's just sort of, let's stuff it down a little deeper and keep up with life. Yeah. And so a lot of it is cultivating that compassion and that understanding that I bet I would have had an entirely different mom had she been able to have the help she needed to process something as traumatic as what you've shared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. It's so surreal when you start to look at these things and really reflect into the things that we've done, the things that have happened to us, if you would, but they have been choices. I mean, these aren't things that, I got, an assigned marriage to a narcissist. No, I chose that narcissist. I chose to marry him. I made those decisions and I have to accept that. But
also to add to that, Tracy, we chose from our wounded place.
Mm.
We chose from the part of us who maybe took care of a sad mom. Mm-hmm. We chose from that part of us who feels I get my identity out of, really helping others or really tuning into what their needs are first. And so a lot of it is our own inner healing first, mm-hmm. so that it's not about blame or I shouldn't have. You know, our partners show up mm-hmm. exactly as we need them to show us what's a live wire inside our body.
Mm-hmm. Now, does it uncover things like patterns of alcoholism in a family that then gets generationally passed down, addictions, if you would?
So my experience of addictions is it's less about a genetic passing on, but it's more about a lack of connection. And there's been a lot of scientists lately who've come out to say, trying to find sobriety is not about an AA group, not there's anything wrong with that group, or, this strategy, mm-hmm. it's more about a lack of connection. So we reach for things, whether it be alcohol, drugs, or chocolate cake, or gambling. I mean, lots of, ways that we numb mm-hmm. because we didn't get a part of what we really needed when we were young. So addiction patterns can even be sourced out to being separated, right away from birth, like we talked about earlier. Or a feeling of, there's stuff going on at school. I'm 7 or 8 years old and mom's gone back to school herself or started going back to work. So maybe she was really fully there in the early days, but there was this developmental time where we really needed her and she's not there. Mm-hmm. And so these addiction patterns are often sourced from what attention or attachment needs went offline when we really needed them most.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I feel like I've just been a session. I've just learned so much about my own family and my life and going, wow, this all makes so much sense.
I'm glad you're taking away kind of bits and pieces.
Well, totally. And that's why I wanted you to be on here to help my viewers understand that this is like another component, another direction to unravel the puzzle, because yes. Everything that we have done, everything that we've experienced is a puzzle. And
absolutely.
If you're missing that one piece, it's never going to be a whole puzzle.
That's
so right. In order to be whole, we have to know all the pieces that we're dealing with.
Well said.
That could be a quote. Write that down.
A tweetable.
Exactly. I could tweet that. What else do you want to tell us about the kind of work that you do and the people maybe that come to you? Because I'm sure I wouldn't call it new age, but it's some people would be, I'm going to go to a traditional therapist. I don't know what that is. So there's an unknown factor. So what kind Absolutely. Of people come and seek your help?
Well, all kinds of people, from medical doctors to women who stay at home with their children to, you know, there's no real classical person that would seek me out. I think the common theme that I see is people that have seen every expert they can think of. And, you know, physicians, psychologists, many of them are not trained to look behind the inherited family trauma door. Mm-hmm. And it's just a new way of resolving what's going on. Mm-hmm. Not a new way, like an elevated way. You know, I always lean on that Einstein quote. It just makes so much sense that none of us can solve a problem with the same mind that created it. And so it's never really enough to just sit and understand your problem or talk about it, at no end. We really have to look at what's the awareness, what are the contributing factors? Like you said, how do we pull those puzzle pieces together? Mm-hmm. And now how do we rebuild our life mm-hmm. from a choice point, from what makes sense to us, instead of just going back into that repetitive pattern?
Yeah.
So no more is the how do you feel about that type of questions. Mm-hmm. Much more about how do we redesign your life with the components that really work.
Right.
When we can integrate some of that stored pain, it's amazing what opens up just by default.
And it sounds like depending on, I'm not going to say how messed up somebody is, but depending on what they want to achieve, how deep they need to go, because it sounds like Colin was his name, you know, he got to the uncle and he got that trauma out pretty quickly. But, yeah. You know, some things are deeper than others. How long does something like that, what could someone expect?
Great question. So in my private practice, I offer a single session or I offer a package of three. And more often than not, we come to a place of resolution within three private sessions. Wow. I started offering group sessions online because they're so profoundly powerful. You know, we're so much more alike than we are different. Mm-hmm. And we do so much learning together. So it's a much more cost-effective way for people to access my work. Mm-hmm. And I actually feel it's even more effective because the one that I've just developed is, you know, 6 weeks and a bit of an immersive experience where we're together once a week over 6 weeks for 90 minutes at a time. And there will be some teaching components like this very interview, as well as experiential elements that you can step into to make those changes at the body level.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That sounds awesome. I love the fact that it could be online because so many people live in remote places, live in places that don't have even a therapist in town. So they're like, they wouldn't have someone as cool as you in their town necessarily, but you're not limited today. The life is about this. I mean, we are on Zoom, we are sitting here and you're in Canada and on the other side of the country from me, but here we can communicate it like as if we were sitting next to each other in the forest.
I just love it. It's so amazing. I mean, I don't even want to admit to you the fortune I spent on flights and hotels learning all of this, you know, from my various teachers. Mm-hmm. And it feels like such a pleasure to be able to connect with people in the comfort of their own living room and just really share this work with more people.
Yeah. Well, I know that I am really grateful to have you on the show and introduce you to people that really need to understand when you're debugging this whole what the hell happened. Mm-hmm. It's also, there's a component, and I look at people that come into this funnel, if you would, of mm-hmm. holy shit, I was abused, I didn't even know it, the anger, the hurt, the pain, and yeah. then learning about them. Okay, I didn't even know about narcissists. I'm going to learn all about them and learn about the red flags. I'm going to learn about this, but that's not going to heal you. It's right. going to give you a defense for the next time, and it's going to give you an explanation about what happened. But that doesn't put you into this place of, okay, I'm better, because you still have that underlying thing. And as you said, the next narcissist is going to walk into the room and you're going to be like, wee, because
this is really, a fit. This is familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, it's, and we have to get rid of that familiar inside of us by exploring anything that we can do. If you really want to get better, like you said, you are willing to take and do anything. Mm-hmm. I have gone through And everything from energy healing to therapists to doctors to antidepressants. Yeah. And it's the more pieces and the more layers I pull back, the more I say, oh my goodness, there's a lot more to uncover here. And learning just in the last week or so that my choices have affected my son is like, oh, okay, well, it's if you just go back into a relationship, you just start again without healing these wounds, you're just going to be in the same place. And they say, you know, what you didn't learn is going to just keep coming back.
And yeah. So, you know, save yourself some of that pain. Mm-hmm. You've already cried enough tears, and really look at, you know, what are some of the pieces that I need to heal before risking my heart again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And feeling confident that you're not going to repeat the same patterns, because
that's it. It is about rebuilding that sense of confidence, coming home to yourself in the, I've got this. I can trust my gut instincts. I'll know when to move forward or when to hold back. Mm-hmm. And that a lot of times we have to clear away some of that, you know, fog of confusion or the guilt we might feel about our part in it.
Right.
We've got to clear away all of that so that we have access to the body signals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that this is a really important piece. And I think that in everyone's healing, they should not ignore this part, because do you have people, because as survivors, we have the two camps. Okay. Yes, there was some kind of trauma, some kind of drama, narcissistic parent or something. Mm-hmm. And then we have the, no, my parents were perfect. I lived a perfectly great life. But then they're still attracted to narcissists. They're still in this pattern, but it goes much farther than the fact that your parents were nice versus evil, right?
It does. And so I don't know why this happens, but it happens far too often for it to be a coincidence that sometimes these patterns skip a generation. Mm. So my place to start would be to look at what happened with grandma and grandpa. What did mom and dad feel about their relationship with their parents, mm-hmm. to begin to explore what might be there? Because our life gives us all the clues we need to follow what's unresolved inside of our system. Mm-hmm. The body keeps score, the body keeps that record. And even when I work with adoptive people, Tracy, they might say, you know, I'm adopted. I don't have any of my family history. Well, tell me about your patterns. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what's most painful. That's all we need to know to track back what lives in the system.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating, because I didn't think about adopted people. Mm-hmm. How, you know, like I didn't know anything about my grandfather because he died, but an adopted person has no legs to help.
Right.
This, but they can still be healed and still look at their patterns.
Our life gives us all the clues we need, however painful some of them might be.
Yeah, that's very cool. So, is there anything that you want to close with to have people know how to get a hold of you or anything like that?
Yeah. So if any of your listeners would like to learn more about the 6-week program or about my private practice, by all means, you can reach out at connect@joannalynn.ca. And my website is the same name. Mm-hmm. www.joannalynn.ca. I've got lots of articles, and I've started a little show called The Family Imprint that talks about many of these topics. Some of my clients send in questions. Sometimes I'll interview colleagues, and it's designed around a single topic that hopes to get to the heart of the issue and give some really good content in about 10 minutes or less, because I know how busy people are. Mm-hmm. And so you can find that on my YouTube channel by just looking up my name once again, or finding me on Facebook. They're posted there every Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time.
Wow, you're organized.
Well, it's work I love. And I thank you so much for sort of sharing me with your audience and this work that I do. It really needs to get out to more people. So I'm just so appreciative to chat with you today.
It is my pleasure. So thank you so much for joining us. And if you all need to work on some family stuff, give her a call and see how she can help you, because there is something underneath the covers we have to look up. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you so much for watching this video. I am very excited to bring you this expert series because I think there's so many other ways that we can heal. There's so many other things that we must look at in order to heal. And today's interview with Joanna was extremely helpful for me, and I hope it is for you as well. What I'd like to talk to you about now is to understand where you are in your recovery and understand how to move on to the next steps. There's so many different things that we can do, but we're very often stuck, not knowing what do we do next. A lot of people get stuck on this hump of after they've learned about narcissist abuse and they've learned about being a victim and they've learned about codependency, people pleasing, and all of the other factors that made us predisposed to choosing this and living with this situation. There's more to it than just learning that. We really need to do some deep work. And I've got some suggestions for you. I've brought together some amazing experts that have put together some courses on my website. If you really want to heal and you really want to get rid of the anger, if you really want to get to the next level and get back to not only being yourself, but being stronger, being more educated, and giving yourself the chance to have a better life, then visit my website and take my new quiz, narcissistabusesupport.com/quiz. Let's see where you are in your recovery and how we can help you, because I've been there and I know what you're going through and I want to help. So visit my website and subscribe to my channel if you haven't. Thank you so much for watching. This is Tracy. That's all I got.